Okay, we're going to get started. We're, first thing on here is public comment. Public comment. Step right on up, sir.
I'm Mike Galou from Ocean View, Delaware. My wife and I moved here a little over 2 years ago, and we got what we paid for, a stylish townhouse on a beautiful golf course near the beach. What more could you ask for? As we became more involved, we realized we lived in a Republican-dominated county controlled by developers. We learned about low state income taxes, no sales tax, state deficits, virtually no public transportation, very little affordable housing, a wide income gap between the haves and the have-nots, very poor internet service, bulky cable with no competition, polluted drinking waters, beautiful bays where you can't swim or eat the seafood. Indeed, we got what we paid for. And yet our builders and developers continue to come before county council to get approval to build more, develop more of the same that got lower Delaware into this mess. Then we, my wife in particular, heard about the comprehensive plan. She went to the Planning and Zoning Commission meetings that drafted this plan that you are reviewing in this meeting. Our hope is that you will see a way out of our current situation and a path to the future that supports its citizenry now and in the future. Remember, the developers will be gone in about 10 years, moving on to their next area to conquer. We also hope for thoughtful development built along guidelines set forth by a master plan for Sussex County. We want you to implement impact fees on developers to help pay for future roads and improvements on existing roads. If Senator Hocker, Representative Gray, and County Council want better jobs for Sussex County, you have to invest in infrastructure projects. We need better mobility for east-west roadways, north-south evacuation routes in cases of emergency. We also need better broadband installed in the county so new industry has a competitive chance to survive. We need clean water projects. Support of HB 270 is a good start. Countywide sewage treatment projects for each community with tie-in projects for every business and housing development. This way, no one has to worry about their drinking water getting polluted by the next flood. Senator Hocker wants us to grow out of our way of this situation. His way is more development and thus more transfer fees. The comprehensive plan you submit to the governor and the ordinances you put into place will determine what Sussex County will look like in 10 years. There's no pressure, it's just all up to you. Everyone who lives here, whether they like it or not, or whether they know it or not, is depending on you to have the independent vision to see the future and prepare us for our safe and enjoyable golden years. Thank you for your time. And remember, you get what you pay for.
And where'd you move from, by the way?
Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
North Carolina?
We're halfbacks. Our kids live in New York and Connecticut, so we moved halfway back.
There you go.
I love being here.
Understand.
I thought you had something to do with New York. I wasn't sure about that. I just listened to you.
What gave it away?
About how you came here, because you thought we ought to prove what after you got here.
Next was over here. Yes, ma'am.
Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you this morning. As you're about to begin consideration of the future land use program, as on your calendar for this afternoon. We have a proposal for you related to future land use on master planning. We are Fran Lazro, who is our chair, David Wilson, Mohammed Akhtar, and I'm Jeanette Akhtar. We all live in southern Sussex County in the Selbyville Mailing District, just off of Route 54. We're here today representing the Southern Sussex County Community Action Group, otherwise known as SCAG, which is a nonpartisan coalition of communities in the unincorporated area of Southern Sussex County along Routes 54 and 20. This is within District 5, And our councilman, Rob Arlette, has attended and provided much valuable input in several of our meetings. The purpose of SCAG is to address items of unincorporated communities in Sussex County that impact quality of life, availability of public services, public safety, environmental protection. We're also interested in issues such as housing and environmental and economic development. In our area, rapid and uncoordinated development is occurring and has occurred without the necessary infrastructure. We're not talking only about physical structures here, such as roads and bridges, but also supportive services such as public safety, emergency medical services, fire protection, etc. Quality of life, the environment, and public safety are being compromised the way things are being done now. Residents of the area don't want those patterns to continue or to replicate what we've seen in other areas of the county. We want master planning for our area, and the members of SCAG have voted unanimously to support us in presenting this proposal to you today. Excuse me. The current draft of the 2018 Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Chapter has many goals, objectives, and strategies that strongly support master planning. We have included a sample in your handout, and we've also included an overview of the Delaware Office of State Planning Coordination publication on master planning. It's really an excellent resource, we found. And I'm sure you're all familiar with it already. With this foundation, the Southern Sussex County Community Action Group presents to you this proposal today. Here it is. The current comprehensive plan, strategy number 4.4.1.5, states the following: encourage master planning for large-scale developments on large parcels or groups of parcels in the ESDA, developing areas, and mixed residential land use, that's us, to provide flexibility in design. Based on that strategy, we ask you to designate the rapidly growing geographic area along Route 20 and along Route 54 from Route 113 to the intersection of Bayville Road as a master plan area. Encourage municipalities within the area to participate. The county will facilitate, coordinate, and implement the master plan for this area. We strongly urge you to include this in the 2018 comprehensive plan that's before you. Thank you for attention, and if you have any questions, be glad to address them.
Anybody have any questions? Thank you very much.
I got one question. Mr. Burton. So you're 26, 54, and 20 in this resolution. Is it defined exactly where you're talking about? Are you talking about all of 20, all of 54? How does that work?
Specifically the area between on Route 54 from 113 over to the intersection of Bayville Road.
And how far this way would that go?
That we don't feel that we have the expertise or the background to really define. We're not planners. We just live there. And we're looking to the future and hoping to be able to maintain a quality of life, not only for ourselves, but for new people coming in, and particularly a legacy that we'll be leaving for our kids, for our grandchildren, other people, environmental protection in particular.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all very much. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Patricia Galou, and I'm part of the Sussex Housing Group. And I know that you've heard from them a number of times before. They have given their input on lots of different places in the comprehensive plan. But the issues that you are talking about today are extremely important, mobility and future land use. And the reason I know it's called a comprehensive plan is because you are dealing with so many different areas, and they are all intertwined with each other. But the housing group itself is extremely concerned about affordable housing within the land use program, and particularly about the not having an issue of inclusionary zoning in order to provide more affordable housing, which coincides with not having a living wage in the community. People that work here are having a lot of difficulty living here without having subsidies. And those that are getting raises that are going from $8.25 an hour to $11 an hour, you can't live on that as well, and their subsidies are reduced as a result of making $11 or $12 an hour, which seems extremely difficult, and it is. I am part of St. Vincent de Paul in Bethany Beach, and we have dealt with many young women who have children who have lost that subsidy because of taking a promotion, and others that have turned it down because of losing subsidies. One of their issues is mobility. We don't have effective transportation for people to get to work within living in southern parts of the county to going to northern parts of the county that work around people's time schedules. And the cost of a car and insurance when you're paying rent and childcare, it mounts to the point where it's extremely difficult to be able to live and work in this county. And especially with not attracting high-paying jobs. As was mentioned before, we do need higher-paying jobs. We need to be able to support the people of this community. In order to do that, we need to have better infrastructure. We need to have better roads. We need to have places where business can go, where there is built-in infrastructure, sewer, water, good schools, and broadband. Without those things, the companies are not going to come here. So we appreciate your time, and we appreciate the amount of time that has been given to reviewing the comprehensive plan, and we appreciate that we have been able to have input into this process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Public comment? Public comment. Is there?
One in the back.
Wait a minute. He's hiding. Someone hiding in the back. Here we go.
Should we come right out of time?
Nope, sorry.
In your
He's got the happy tie on.
Yeah. That's right. I'm trying to be in a good mood. I think most of you know me, but I'm DJ Hughes, and I live at 16566 Sweetwater Drive, which is just off of Hudson Road in the Milton area. I want to follow up briefly. Last time I made a presentation about using the railroad right away from Lewis to Cool Spring. It's been the existing railroad line's been decommissioned. Right now Delaware's planning to just do a trail, which would be great from a recreational standpoint, but if with 66 foot of preserved right away in eastern Sussex County, the cost savings from right-of-way acquisition and the time savings, which is years, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars and probably even more than that, and years that we can save, and we'll never have that opportunity again, most likely in eastern Sussex, if we drop the ball. So there's really no real transportation value in just moving forward with a trail. 0.2% of people bike to work in Sussex County per DLDOT's fact book. So we really need to take advantage of that. And to me, it's just a no-brainer to move forward and explore that. So I'm asking you all to include that in your comp plan. Nobody can guarantee construction right now, but there's nothing that's preventing you all from putting that in your comp plan and asking them to explore that. I understand. There's a workshop on the 15th for Minus Conaway and SR1, and it's encouraging to hear that one of the options, they're not willing to share yet because they said they're still revising their concepts, but may include a two-way road under the Nassau Bridge. I showed options for that 2 weeks ago, and we're actually, another resident and I, who are on the working group for the Five Points study, are working on four concepts to show how you can get under the Nassau Bridge. So we're doing that on our own, and we're going to submit that to DLDOT once it's completed, and we tend to have that done prior to the workshop. So if y'all can put that in the comp plan, I think that would be a great thing. And I know there was some discussion, and I don't know about if, what was revised in like the introduction, but I know Mr. Thomas wasn't happy with the tone of it, and you know he hasn't been in his role for that long, and none of that was directed at him. But I think if we don't acknowledge history, we're doomed to repeat it. And the facts are that whether you go back to 1970 or 1997, keep talking about the same thing. So we need to make sure that, and as Sussex Countyans, that's partly on us too, because we haven't held out to those things to make sure they happen. So we need to do that as the board, or as the council and as residents, we need to hold them to that and make sure that happens. The one thing is if we're going to change our tune, then I think we need to hear a different tune come from DelDOT. The public also thinks this, and DelDOT kind of runs with it, that the county's haphazardly approved development. Well, if you look at the facts, DelDOT and the state approved comp plan is directing y'all to approve development between Millsboro and Route 1 and along Plantation Road. For the most part, that's what y'all have done. So DelDOT also promised to provide infrastructure. That hasn't happened, and if I can submit a letter to you back from October 14th of 2009. This was to Councilwoman Deaver based on her request, and I believe it was in response to wondering, you know, about approving some development. And DelDOT said they had a project from Route 24 between Love Creek and Route 1. It was in the CTP then 9 years ago, 2018. It's still there. Back then, it was to dualize all the way from Love Creek to Route 1 and install a center turn lane. We just heard at the Five Points Working Group they're coming back to the schools, but they're still not coming back to Love Creek. So, you know, when y'all get letters from them, y'all approve development based on what they tell you, and then they pull the funding from it. You know, that's not our fault. That's not your fault. So, you know, the county already has this, obviously, but I'll submit this. And I'm also going to give you this, which is in regard to wayfaring. I don't know the whole history behind the wayfaring map that was in there. I understand it may be removed, but that basically shows you an alternate Route 24 that DelDOT planned, and it's one point they signed. Now, I think that came from AAA, and it's talking about at one point they decided to go back and remove the signs. I'm not really sure why, if it was complaints from people on the road or whatever, but they did a study, McCormick Taylor did, and basically people were saying we use back roads, and they came up with alternate 24 based upon that. They signed it, but improvements never followed, and now some of that's gone away. Alternate 26, I believe, is a signed route that was done as part of the 26 construction. You may know more about that than I do, but I believe it's actually a signed route today that shows people if you want to get off 26, there are ways you can go. So, you know, if the county wants to do that in their comp plan, I think it does make sense on for certain roads anyway, maybe not all, and it's actually something DelDOT does do and has done. And unfortunately, I think DelDOT continues to have a credibility issue. Whether it's this comp plan or if it's the Five Points transportation study, we're not seeing weekday conditions acknowledged. They did mention that weekday traffic is getting more close to summer Saturday, but there's no analysis of weekday conditions. And even when we look at the maps, we were told basically that north of 24, there really aren't any problems on a summer Saturday. They report the level of services A or B and under capacity on a summer Saturday at Route 24 and Route 1. A or B means that delay is either less than 10 seconds per vehicle or less than 25 seconds per vehicle. I mean, that's obviously not the case for anybody that's driven on Route 1. And, you know, that's a problem with the data collection and the analysis by the engineers. For me as a professional engineer, if I do a study like this, I mean, for, you know, whether I work for a municipality or a developer, I can't report something like that because I know it's not the truth. Yet that's what we're seeing show up on their maps. So we have to do something about that as well. And even Five Points is shown as being under or near capacity level service C. That means the average delay is supposedly on a summer Saturday less than 35 seconds per vehicle. I mean, that's just a bad joke to me. And I actually have, back in 2015, I did a travel time study that was paid for by a private developer, and it took to get from Cave Neck Road and also stated that it does back up to Cave Neck Road, and been told by certain folks in Delta that's not the case. Well, I think most of us that drive it have experienced it. Most of us know not to leave before 10 a.m. or after 3 p.m. You won't get stuck in it. But I actually did a travel time study, left from the Christiana Mall at 11 o'clock in the morning. It took, I think it was almost 4 hours to get to Fenwick Island. And the section from Cave Neck Road to the avenue, we arrived at Cave Neck Road at 119. We got to Rehoboth Avenue at 2:16 p.m. So to go 7.4 miles, it took 57 minutes. The average travel speed is 7.8 miles an hour. So, but when we look at their maps, their level of service, that's not what they're indicating. So, you know, we've got to do something about that. You know, if they've got Bluetooth, hopefully that should help improve there. But we're not seeing the data reported that we're actually seeing out there as residents traveling on these roads. Same thing on 24, not reporting a level of service on 24 as being what it actually is. Again, August 8, 2015, did a travel time study on 24. It's not as bad on 24, but it took 21 minutes to go 9.3 miles. That was a 26-mile-an-hour average speed on a 50-mile-an-hour posted road. But as you got closer to Love Creek, your average speed dipped down to between Camp Arrowhead Road and Love Creek. It was 15 miles an hour. Between Love Creek and Mulberry Knoll, it was 24. Between Mulberry Knoll and Plantation, it was 18. And then up to Route 1, it was 14. So, you know, when I look at the data, the maps, the intersection level service, just not seeing reported what we're actually seeing as drivers and residents. And we've got to do something about that. And there's better ways to collect data. They talked about constrained conditions, but what we really have is oversaturated conditions. And if you count just the cars going by a stop line and a signal, if you got oversaturated conditions, you're going to get the same thing every time. You need to be counting the cars 3 miles to the north that are trying to get to the intersection that can't. And then you've got side roads in between. So, I mean, when I see this data reported like that, it's a problem, and we need to do something about addressing it, because it's a credibility issue, I mean, to me. And if people are looking at that are making funding decisions, then we also, maybe that's part of the problem with the funding that we've got down here. And I've talked about the light at 1-16 before. To me, that's not really a problem, that intersection. We need to hold off on that. We need to do the Minas Conaway Road intersection. We need to do the Cave Neck Road intersections. Those are the real problems. And if we take that signal at 16 out, we're going to have real problems. Even there's an article to the left back there I forgot to bring up, where even Secretary Cohen acknowledged that removing all the signals up in Kent County, and you'll be able to get on Route 1 I-95, when they remove all those Kent County, 16 is going to be a set last signal left. It's obviously going to funnel more traffic to the beach. People are going to be able to get there quicker. And then once they get there, they're not going to have any improvements down here to go anywhere. So whether it's using the railroad right away, other roads, there's also some ways we can build roads from Route 9 to get over to, say, Mulberry or Cedar Grove Road, and at Mulberry Knoll Road. You could go the vineyards in Nassau, you could take, there's all open land. You'd have to work with property owners, but you can get a road from the vineyards all the way over to Mulberry Knoll Road at Cedar Grove Road. I don't think it's much more than a mile. So we need to be looking at those type of things. I've actually drawn that up. I don't know if any of it's gotten to any of you guys, but you know, those are the things that we really need to start looking at and getting in this comp plan. And lastly, one concerning thing, when I was at the CTP, I was talking with the director of planning, Drew Boyce, and I started talking about the comp plan. He said, well, we don't use the comp plan to make funding decisions for the CTP. And to me, that's a little disturbing, because if the state's going to require y'all to put the time and effort and money, and the public's going to take time and effort to comment, you know, then what is the state using the mobility element for? If they're not using your guidance to help direct the funding, then maybe that's part of the problem too. And I don't know what ways we can correct that, but comp plan is supposed to carry the force of law. So, and hopefully the committee that's in that comp plan can follow through and become a reality. And maybe that committee is what we need to track projects and to prioritize projects and actually make sure they happen. You know, a 6-year CTP, last night, I think Trump said that it takes, said it takes 10 years to get a road permit. Well, in Sussex, it's not 10 years would be nice in Sussex. I mean, we're talking 20, 30 years in some cases. So, you know, it, again, I don't want to be all negative, but if we don't remember the history, we're doomed to repeat it. So we got to figure a way to do better, all of us and Delta included, and hopefully we can do that.
Before you walk away, Mr. President, real quick.
Sure, sure.
What the, you've been doing what you've been doing for how long?
Started at Delta in 1999.
Long time.
Delta in April of 2003. So been in the private sector for 15 years, basically.
19 years all in all. Yep. So from your perspective, where are the, you said changes need to be done, changes need to be done, changes need to be done. You've been inside of Delta and outside of Delta.
Correct.
And you probably can't explain it in the short time that you've got left, but have you put your ideas and thoughts on how to make these changes on paper? Because I think there's very few people that I'm aware of in Sussex County that are, in my mind, as knowledgeable about the subject as you.
Well, I appreciate that. And I mean, yes and no. My problem is I don't get paid for any of this. I got paying clients I'm supposed to be working on their projects right now. So, you know, I'm doing the best I can to manage everything, but, I mean, I go to the CTP hearings, I come here, you know, I mean, but as an outsider, there's only so much I can do. I really think the county needs somebody, whether it's a paid consultant or a county staff, so they need somebody that is doing this stuff on behalf of the county and that can, you know, coordinate directly with DLDOT. Part of the problem to me is, a lot of the people, transportation, traffic engineering is a very subjective thing. I refuse to do work in areas that I don't know, and I don't like it, and I try to get to know an area. Say I have to do work in Pennsylvania, I said no, because I don't know that area. And as engineers, if you just crunch data, if you send somebody to the field, get the data and crunch numbers, you're not going to do anybody the right service. You need to be out there, see it with your own eyes. And there's ways, I mean, Highway Capacity Manual tells you that, you know, it's software is only so good. You need to calibrate the software based on what you see out there. And if you're not out there seeing these backups or you don't drive in them, you know, a lot of people can leave their work at work. When I leave work, I drive in my work. So, you know, so I see it, I live it, I breathe it. I was born in, you know, Milford Hospital in 1976, lived in Milton. So, you know, I've seen all the changes, you know, I mean, from Route 1 not being anything on Route 1, no Rehoboth Ball, no outlets. I've seen all that. You know, there's good and bad comes with it. We used to have to go to grocery shopping in Dover when I was a kid. So we don't have to do that now. We got a little more traffic to deal with. But, you know, to me, the summer Saturday stuff, I don't really care about that to a certain extent. Let's make sure people can get around during the day to and from work. You know, we've got roads that people can't get to and from work on, or, you know, even the Hennepin TID talked about only one intersection in this area where you sit through a light more than once. I mean, all of us know that's not true. I mean, you can sit through, it doesn't have to be a summer Saturday, you sit through lights multiple cycles during the middle of the day, summer, non-summer. You know, I mean, there's a lot of issues, and I'd be willing to work with y'all or whoever to specifically address them. That's what part of the 5 points transportation study. I'm hoping to do that. So,
well, perhaps the working group, if it comes to fruition, which I hope it does, that maybe from there we may choose to take it to another step and get a consultant and hire, and we'll see what happens. But
I think that's the working group in there. I think that's probably the best thing I've seen in the mobility element. And you're talking about the future land use model or element later. They tied hand in hand together, and you know, we've got a problem with, you know, trying the workforce working on one side of the county and not being able to afford to live there. I'd like my kids to be able to go away to college and be able to afford to come back and live here and actually have the infrastructure where they want to live here. Thanks. So, you know, we got work to do, but I think we can do a better job anyway.
Thank you.
Yep.
You know, as bad as it is, as people come here, they still keep on coming. It's amazing why so many people want to come here.
Yeah, and I understand.
We have such a bad state to live in, such a bad county.
Yeah, and I understand if you're built it, they will come concern, and that's.
I believe you're exactly right.
That's out there too, but we also have to accommodate the people who are already here. and there's a lot of people that are already here, and you know,
I've been here long as you have. You bet that.
And but maybe a couple years longer even.
Moving right along.
At least hearing you talk, I've been here seven more years than you've been here.
Hey, DJ, wait one sec. I got a question.
Yes, Bert has a question.
One of the things that came to light with me in the last public hearing was that when DLDOT calculates a level of service, it like those intersections, if 4 in the morning counts the same as 4 in the afternoon on an average, are there any studies that say, all right, the bulk of the people are traveling in this window, so how do we solve this window? Because if you use the average of 2, 3, 4 in the morning, then it dilutes when most are traveling.
Well, when we're talking about level of service, we actually use a misleading term called peak hour. We don't even look at the peak hour. We look at the peak 15 minutes within the peak hour, and then we apply peak hour factors. It basically assumes that worst 15 minutes happens 4 consecutive times. If I do a TIS for a developer, that's what I'm required to do. Their manual tells me exactly what I have to do in those conditions, but there's no way the results they're reporting is doing that. If they were, they wouldn't be showing green at Route 24.
But is there any way to change that? You know, because we talked about this the last time. You know, you can go right through 24 to Millsboro at 3:30 in the morning. It's not a problem. Right, but 3:30 in the afternoon, it's a completely different road.
Well, when we collect data, typically if you're doing a weekday AM, it's between 7 and 9 in the morning or 4 and 6 in the afternoon. On a summer Saturday, a lot of times we've narrowed the window to a 4-hour window, 10 to 2. Some areas, it's 9 to 2 or 3. When I started, they used to require county 9 to 5, but then we found that a lot of times, you know, between 10 and 3 is when your worst traffic is. And one of the things that's kind of counterintuitive is your highest traffic volumes are not during your worst conditions, because your highest traffic volumes are when volumes are free-flowing. If we're all going 45 miles an hour, when you measure traffic at a given point, you can get more cars by that point at 45 miles an hour. If we're going 15, you're not getting as many cars by that point because there's a backup to, you know, upstream where they're not able to get there.
But how do we fix that, right? So we know that that if data drives the decisions, mm-hmm. right, and you look at the data, and I kind of agree with you that, you know, there's some intersections that are green on paper and they're red in my mind,
right?
So if the data drives the decisions, then is there a way to, and this goes to both of you, is there a way to say, let's re-look at the data?
Well, it takes a great, to count one intersection that's oversaturated, because we had to do this on Kings Highway and 24. Normally, back in the day, you just throw one or two people at there, you count the cars going by the stop line. But you do that year after year, you're pretty much going to get the same result if it's oversaturated. What we actually have to do is I put a driver, a counter, and somebody with a video camera in a car. So I got two people at the intersection. Each approach, I got three other people. So now I got five people. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money. And then not only that, then you get all this great data, then you plug it into software, and then the software still tells me I got a 500-foot queue. Well, I got video shows I got a 1,500-foot queue. So now I got to calibrate the software. It's an iterative process.
And that is being done?
It's not being done on this. That's very obvious to me. I've done it on Kings Highway.
So you do it for the private sector?
Yes.
But it doesn't get done from DLDOT to us?
I've actually requested the data collection and the analysis. I don't want to say what is or isn't being done, because I've requested that. I've got it for the Hanlopen TID. I can see what was done for the Hanlopen TID. I don't know if some of that STEAM stuff followed through to the 5 points study or if that was different data, but I've requested that, and once I get it and review it, then I can give you a better report on that. But based on what I'm seeing, the results reported, I don't see how it's being done like that.
So, Josh Thomas from DLDOT. IG, if we could wait, you're actually touching on something that we're going to get into right now. As soon as we're done public comment.
It's going to happen all day.
Well, I'm just saying, I have people in the room that are better versed to speak to this than I am. And that's the first thing we want to touch on is the follow-up items from the last meeting.
Okay.
So, you know, if we could just, and you know, as soon as we get done public comment, we move right into it, and we'll do that. But yeah, we're essentially going to hit on that first.
All right, good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for your time today.
Thank you. We're going to move now. Mobility, yeah, mobility, chapter discussion.